This is an interview with Mr. John Bosek for the Youngstown State University History of St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Parish by Mary Lou Shirilla. At Mr. Bosek's home on November 20th, 1986 at 11 a.m. Mr. Bosek, before we begin talking about your own self, can you give me a little bit of information about your parents or your grandparents?
My parents are both dead. I can't recall the year that they died in or anything. I have them somewhere marked in books on pictures and all.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall their time of death except my mother, who died on January 14, 1928. And then my dad died, oh, maybe 50 years later or something. I can't recall now.
Okay.
He lived for quite a while. And
what do you recall about your mother when she was alive?
Well, all I could say that she was very good to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a good many years because mm-hmm. we was little kids at the time that she did die yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she was good to us. And she taught us to pray all the time, and my dad was always after her to get us to pray more. So I prayed as much as I could, and I'm still praying even today.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very sick. I can't recall what the doctor said she died from, but she was sick in bed for several weeks or probably even months. I don't recall. I was a youngster, and I was having my good time, so I didn't pay no attention to those things. I didn't think they were serious at that time until after she died.
Okay. And were your parents born in Europe?
They was born in Europe, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved from Europe to somewhere in Pennsylvania, Greensburg, or wherever it was. And later on, my dad couldn't get a job, and she didn't like it here, so she went back to Europe with me and my sister Anne. They had two children at that time.
I see.
And I went back to Europe. I mean, they went back to Europe with mm-hmm. them, with the children.
Mm-hmm.
But Dad stayed here, and he finally got a job. And the people scolded her in Europe and said, "You should go back to your husband and stay with him. Don't bother coming back here." So she came back again shortly, you know. And I don't recall how I got there to Europe because I was maybe only about 2-3 years old at that time,
mm-hmm.
from what they tell me. My sister Anne remembers more. So I don't recall much about Europe or anything, or where it was. I don't recall
mm-hmm.
none of the
mm-hmm.
trip or anything. So
you just remember them telling you about it, is
yeah,
that
I
right?
just remember uh-huh. telling me about it.
Okay. So you said you had a sister, Anne, and yourself, and then there were other children after that?
Yes, there was other children. There
mm-hmm.
was 10 altogether, and one died in Farrell, Pennsylvania. That made it 10. There was 9 of us living, and we were still living until not too long ago when Laverne died. Her name was Veronica, and she changed it to Laverne. And Steve died. And
okay.
I can't recall now.
Okay, that's all right. Now, so then you did come back to the United States.
Yes.
And so what are your earliest memories of your own childhood? Where did you live when you were a child?
I lived in Struthers, no, in Farrell is where I was born, Farrell,
okay.
Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
We had no church there, so they brought me down to St. Mary's Church in Steelton,
mm-hmm.
in Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All the way from Farrell.
And all the way from
mm-hmm.
Farrell. That was in the middle of winter in February. And they brought me to have me baptized. I don't recall the name of the priest there. And I do recall one time when my dad brought me back couple of years later, maybe I was about 4 years then, and they was blessing the bells at St. Mary's Church in Steelton, and
mm-hmm.
I remember how I cried when the bells rang too loud for me. I couldn't stand the sound.
You didn't like it. You were a very sensitive child, I'll bet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we went back, and I lived in Europe, I mean, in Farrell for a while. We came to Struthers. We lived in Struthers for about 6 months, and then from Struthers we moved to Camel. In Camel, we moved to another section in Camel, and I went to school there at the old Italian Hall. It used to be before the Gordon School was built. The Gordon School was not built then. And when the Gordon School was built, I remember I had a principal there that was Longstreet by the name.
Okay.
Mr. Longstreet was our principal. Mm-hmm. And then from Camel, I moved to Lansingville here. And I lived in Lansingville since then till now.
Okay.
And I built this home. I had it built, rather, in about 1927 when it was built.
So you've been here all that time?
I've been here
since
all that 1927. Time. I'm still in the same home.
Okay.
And I got married with Ida Mary Mulchain. And that was in 1925 when we got married. I think it was in
1925?
September or something, I can't recall. I got some writing in a back room. I might as well go get that.
Well,
out.
We can check on that later, okay? How about right now if we backtrack a little bit to more back to your childhood and were you a member of St. Nicholas Church when it first began?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
what can you tell me about that?
At first, we started in Camel, and we was holding masses in different homes. Used to be at Mr. Lisco's home, and sometimes it would be at Fox's, or whatever they called themselves. That was the same as a Lisco, because one is a Lisco means fox, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And,
And then
Cibula's home. Cibula was one of them. We hold mass there. And then we moved to Lansingville here, and we had to go to Hazleton, and we had an old church that we bought, and then that church burned down. I can't recall when, but we had a school in the basement, and an old wooden church. We had the school, church and school there together, and the church caught on fire one time, and the altar section burned out, and then they had to rebuild the section of that church and make it bigger too, because we was getting, you know, bigger and bigger. It was growing a little bit more.
A lot more families.
More families just keep being brought in. So we had the church there after that fire, and then. After we was in that church for a time, along about 1917, I think, they got together and they said they're going to build a new church, the one we're in now. I think it was built about 1918, finished or something like that.
I think it was, started around
1918. And I was in choir, and I was in school, and we had Father Pop for our first pastor, and we had Cantor Ratson. He used to teach us, and I was in choir then too. And then later on we had Cantor Horvat, and he teaching us in our choir too.
Okay. Do you remember anything? Could you describe what that first church looked like on the inside to me? I've seen pictures of the outside of the church, but nothing from the inside.
It was just pews on one side, pews on the other, men on one side, men and ladies on the other in those days. And we had, after a while, in front there where the altar was like an iconostas, like, you know.
There was an iconostas?
I just painted pictures there. I don't recall too much anymore.
That's okay. Were you ever an altar boy in that church?
No.
No?
No, okay. I was never an altar boy.
Okay. Do you recall how that fire got started?
They said that some candles caught on fire around the altar somewhere. And the front end of the church burned down. The back end was okay. We had a choir upstairs, and we had a church bell up there. the floor was slanted a little bit forward, you know, in the choir. I was always afraid when I was young that I'd take a run and fall out.
That's cute.
Well, I can't recall too much about that
anymore. Do you remember any? Oh, that's okay. I just wondered if you remembered any of the first communions or weddings that might have been in that church.
I had my first communion in that church,
Did you?
I thought it was about 1909. But they tell me, no, the church wasn't open until after 1912.
1912 is what I heard.
Might have been 12. So I got a picture here of myself in the communion and about maybe 15 other people. I can't find it now.
Okay.
I found it the other day and I put it to one side. Now I can't find where
it is.
That's
okay. Well, you'll come across it, I'm sure. Oh, you mentioned that at that time that the parish house was located up the street.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, we had our picture taken on that parish house steps on the front porch. I was never inside of it, though.
You mean the First Communion picture
first
was taken there?
First Communion picture was taken there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I see.
I was never inside the house until we built this other church, the new church. And I'd done a lot of electrical work and chandelier work in that parish house and in the church. And I had where Father Romack had, or I think it was Father Romack, I'm not sure now, maybe it was some other priest, where he had some chandeliers donated from the courthouse. They must have weighed about 600 pounds.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I was scared. I was young then and I didn't know too much. I was scared that those chandeliers wouldn't stay up there. So I asked Nick Holliday to get some railroad ties. He got me some railroad ties about 14 feet or maybe 16 feet long. And we hauled them upstairs over the top of the church and we put them across the whole ceiling.
Really?
And then I drilled holes in there and I put a 1-inch iron pipe in there and fastened the fixtures up, and I was always worried, all my life I was worried that those chandeliers might come down someday or the ceiling might come down or something because they were too heavy. And I had to wire up to them because there was never wiring to those chandeliers in the center. There were the two centerpieces, one on each side, you know, where they had those round windows.
Now, this is in the church or in the rectory?
In the church.
Okay.
In the church,
okay.
Where they have the round, big round
windows,
one on
yes.
each side. But there was never no wiring there, so I wired that, and I was no wireman at that time. I was just a chandelier hanger. And I was scared to death that someday those fixtures would come down. And believe me, when they did take them down here not too long ago, a few years ago, was I happy. Was I tickled to death that nobody ever got killed because I just done a poor job on it. It was a good job, but I called it a poor job.
You worried about that all the time?
I worried about that all the time. I was afraid somebody might get killed. But they stayed up. Those fixtures was awful heavy. I had my three brothers help me. I had Nick Holliday and his sons, two sons, I think, help me. And there was somebody else, I don't recall now. And about seven or eight of us was hauling those fixtures up. They wanted me to haul them up on clothesline rope. I said, no, nothing doing. I said, I want steel cables. I says, I won't trust any clothesline ropes, not even cow rope. I says, I want the steel cables. That's too heavy. So I hauled them up and got everything all ready, and I brought the steel cables through the railroad spikes and everything, through the railroad ties. And I fastened everything up and wired up to them, and boy was I happy after that, but I got them up. But I was always worried. I never had peace.
I see. Now you do.
Peace when I saw them fixtures come down and somebody put up some lighter lanterns. Those lanterns are up today yet.
Okay.
Well, I was glad after that.
Let's see. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you about. What were the funerals like when you were a young child? You told me a little bit about it already. Could you tell me more?
I couldn't say except that people used to come to funerals and they'd stay for hours and hours, and there'd always be crowds in the house coming and going, coming and going. And they were praying all the time. Mm-hmm. They had that psaltery, you know.
Yes.
And they was praying that all the time. All night and all day. We'd have to give them coffee every once in a while to drink and something to eat once in a while. It was too much.
This is the book here,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. the book there.
Mm-hmm. And you said that the people were actually laid out in their home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not in any funeral home then?
No, uh-huh. They was in, laid uh-huh. out in their home all uh-huh. the time.
And then when did they take them to church? Just as the, just for the funeral liturgy itself?
Yeah, mm-hmm. they took them from the home right to church, and then mm-hmm. from church they took them and buried them.
Mm-hmm.
Did and to be about 3 days, sometimes maybe more, sometimes less, about 3 days average in the homes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
priests used to come and say parastas, and then Cantor used to say the psalter all the time, day and night.
Did he stay there in the home?
He stayed with the Cantor, whoever happened to be with him, because sometimes he'd have one or two helpers.
I see.
And I was too young, I didn't uh-huh. know how to read those books those times or anything, so in those days he had helpers of his own.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one or two Cantors from either some other church, or sometimes somebody could be his buddy to help him.
And they took turns with the prayers?
They took turns.
Mm-hmm.
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 They'd switch okay. off and on, switch off and on.
Do you remember, did we have a cemetery at that time of our own?
Yes, that was in Camel, the one we have now.
Uh-huh. What was it like back then? I'm sure
oh,
it was nothing like
this. Very small
now.
And very mm-hmm. old, you know. And
mm-hmm.
It, it
mm-hmm.
was dilapidated, very poor.
Was it originally a farmland, do you know?
How's that?
Was it a farmland that was
yes,
used
it was
for
all
the cemetery?
Country mm-hmm. land, farmland mm-hmm. there, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You told me that you married your wife, Ida, in 1925.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that her father was a Byzantine priest also.
Yeah.
What can you tell
I
me about
met
that?
Him.
Oh, you never met her father?
I never met her father.
I see.
He was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother died on Montgomery.
She lived on Montgomery
mm-hmm. next to... oh, I forget that family that there.
That's okay. And your wife's maiden name was Mulchaney, correct?
How's that?
Your wife's maiden name was Mulchaney?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
her name was Mulchaney.
Mm-hmm. And I just recently learned that her brother was also a priest.
Yeah.
Peter Mulchaney. Okay. And you have a holy card here about when he was ordained.
Yes, I mm-hmm. have several in there.
And, were they members of St. Nicholas Parish at that time?
Yes, they uh-huh. were at that time.
So that's why he was ordained?
Father Krushko married us.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And,
Father was just, well, he wasn't ordained yet until later after he was married.
That was the same year, though, right? 1925? That you were married, and then later in that year he was ordained?
No. He was ordained later because he wasn't priest yet at that time.
Okay, but later in that year, right? Here it is. The card says he was ordained on July 19th, 1925.
Right. Yes.
And his first solemn high mass was celebrated at our church, St. Nicholas.
Yes, St. Nicholas.
Okay, that was July
26th. Very few people know about that.
I just found that out because... Anne Planey, do you know Anne?
Mm-hmm.
She has a card like this too, and she showed it to me. And I found that was very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember going to that ordination, that first Mass?
Yes, I was at the first Mass,
mm-hmm.
and I was happy,
mm-hmm.
and I felt good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was it like
for
the family?
For the family, we had choir, and I can't recall everything. That's too
okay.
far back.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it was a beautiful occasion for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When mm-hmm. he was ordained, of course, he was priest in the McKeesport somewhere, and in Pittsburgh somewhere. I can't recall where.
He was at St. John's.
He got in trouble with
yes.
the Holy Pope
mm-hmm.
of Rome,
mm-hmm.
and he had a case. and then mm-hmm. he was taken out and he joined the Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
They called mm-hmm. it Catsup Church.
Okay, Catsup?
That's what they called it. They said it was a Catsup Church. I don't know much about it. Well, that was a nickname for, I guess, the Orthodox or something.
Oh, okay.
Or something uh-huh. like that. You know, they used uh-huh. to call them Catsups.
Mm-hmm.
They had a name for that generation of people, or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, okay. Was that a difficult time for your family? Did you still stay in contact with him or not at that time?
For a time I did, until something went wrong.
Uh-huh.
And, well, it happened to be a family affair.
Sure, uh-huh.
It was his daughter, uh-huh. a young daughter that was going to school here, high school. She was staying with us.
Oh.
She was a little bit off.
Oh, I see.
And uh-huh. the teachers asked us to get somebody to take care of her because she won't talk in school. She won't say nothing. She keeps her mouth shut, no matter mm-hmm. how much you beg her to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So she wouldn't talk to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you get after her and make her talk or do something about it. And she says, if you don't, we're going to have to take her and put her in an institution. We'll put her in an institution that may be Catholic and may not be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So over that we got on the outs.
I see.
I
mm-hmm.
asked him to help. I says, I don't want you to take her or anything. I said, I just want some help. Just give me some information what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he called back. He answered me back on the phone and he says, how was it now? He says, I don't want to have nothing to do with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He says, forget about it. He says, I don't want to have nothing to do with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or with Martha. Her name was Martha.
That was his own daughter?
That was his own, no, his own sister.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
My wife's sister.
I see. Know. I thought that was his daughter that you were taking care of. It
no,
was the
no,
sister.
Sister.
Okay, I see.
And
uh-huh.
he says, I don't want to have nothing to do with Martha anymore. And
mm-hmm.
he said, I don't want to have nothing to
mm-hmm.
do with you anymore. I broke into tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hello, hello.
Because
mm-hmm. I heard the phone shut off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept hollering, hello, hello. Nothing, no answer. So I start crying. I come home and told my wife. I said, he wouldn't talk to me no more. He shut the phone and he says, I don't want to have nothing to do with you or with Martha anymore. So I says, I felt bad and I start crying and come home.
Mm-hmm.
The grocery store told me, is there any trouble? I said, no. I says, just a little bit of family trouble. I says, there's nothing wrong.
Oh, you called from the grocery store?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
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 And she asked me if there was something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I says, no. I says, just a little family affair. And I says, there's nothing wrong.
I see.
And I start crying and I come home. I told my wife and my wife says, well, just forget about it.
And that was
pay
the
no
last
attention to him.
That was the last contact you had
That's
with him?
That's the last contact
okay.
I had with him. After that, I couldn't make no more contact with him and didn't talk to him or nothing.
Okay.
I heard he had the case and I can't remember what happened after that.
I think he was excommunicated.
Something like
and,
that.
And then he
I don't recall.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I never talked to him after that. Just what
uh-huh.
people have been telling me this and telling me something else, and I didn't understand what it was all about. So I said, "That's okay." I said,
uh-huh.
"I just forget about him."
Okay. Now, you said that the new church was built, started about 1918?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember when the church was being built? What it was like
then?
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it
mm-hmm.
was going up. Took a long time, but they got it put together, and then we was all in church, and I enjoyed it. It was nice. It looked fancy and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the altar and everything. Of course, after that, they kept improving everything, too,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Can you describe what the church looked like to me when it was first built? What the inside was like? I know it's a little bit different than it is now.
It's uh-huh. almost the same.
Uh-huh.
It's almost
uh-huh.
the same. There was hardly any changes made except for the painting.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time
mm-hmm.
it was unpainted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the money for painting.
I see.
And the chandeliers that they had was crystal fixtures, and little by little those crystal fixtures fell apart because the janitor that was cleaning them used to take buckets of water on the ladder and just pour it on there. And I said, all over the floor, all over the seats and everything. That's a regular.
Okay.
It's all over the floor, all over the seats and everything. So, you know, they used to tie it up with rags, ropes, strings, safety pins, wires, all kind of stuff. Until I got disgusted with it, I said, that looks horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Strings hanging, ropes, rags, pieces of rags, you tear up rags and long rags and tear up the crystals. I mean, tie up the crystals from the top to the bottom.
Oh, they just
so
did
I brought the chandelier home one time, and
uh-huh.
Father Pushko looked at it and he said, oh my God. That man took everything apart and took it home. He says, you'll never put it together again. And I had to rebuild it.
Did you really?
All these crystals I had to rebuild because some of these long ones, you know, that came down and then around the bowl,
uh-huh.
came to
uh-huh.
the bottom. You've seen it.
That's the same one we have now.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had to rebuild all that crystals up instead
my.
Of having all them rags and ropes and everything tied up.
Oh.
It looked terrible. I says, it's sickening. So I got busy and I fixed it up. It took me a couple of days to do it because I had to wash all them crystals in hot water. And I used the alcohol on it and trying to polish them and shine them up and everything. And I had to make them all the same length to hang them up, and I put new wires in them to hook them up.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the whole thing so it looked just like new again. It did look
it
like
looks
new.
Beautiful now. Yeah. I would have never known you had to do that.
I brought a lot of parts from the store, you know, that I used to work in.
Mm-hmm.
I brought a lot of parts that the boss says I could have that
mm-hmm.
would never be used anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I fixed it all up and put in all kind of bills and everything. He broke the crystals, he wrecked everything, he broke the bills that's on these crystals, you know, some of them had bills. And he just took that bucket of water and splashed it on her.
Oh,
and,
that's...
And then with a rag, you know, he just tried and wipe them this way. Well, with a rag, you can't wipe it because it hooked onto all the wires, you know. And it looked terrible, so I finally fixed it up. I got disgusted and I fixed it up. It took me some time. And Father was saying, he'll never do it, he'll never put it together. when I got it together and he looked, he said, I never believed it.
Oh boy.
I made a good job out of it.
Very good. Where did you work at the time? You said you brought
Youngstown Chandelier Company on Phelps Street.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be next to the Hood Electric.
Oh, okay.
And worked there at the Youngstown Chandelier Company until he went bankrupt, and then I got out of there and went to work. I was sorry I never went to the Hood Electric, so I
uh-huh.
after that I went to work for the Beale Electric.
Beale. Mm-hmm.
Beale
mm-hmm.
Electric.
Mm-hmm.
They're still in business, but I haven't been there for many years.
And did you become an electrician with them?
I was becoming an electrician,
mm-hmm.
but I still didn't learn the trade.
Oh, I see.
I never got long enough to learn the trade.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went on strike, and I think we was on strike for 2 whole years. So then I
mm-hmm.
got disgusted, and I went to Detroit and worked in the Briggs Manufacturing Company. And then from there I went to the Packard Motor Car Company. And then I come back to Youngstown and I was finished as an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to work the sheet and tube.
Okay.
And I stayed with the sheet and tube from about 1921 or 1922 until about 1935 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I retired, I think. I can't remember now.
Okay.
I can't recall the time.
That's
all right.
Did you belong to any parish groups like the Sokols or anything
no,
like that?
They always was after me.
Were they?
They said that was too good. I used to practice with them and this and that,
uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
I never joined them. Even the Slovak people here wanted me.
Did they?
They wanted me down at the old hall that they had on Homewood Avenue.
Uh-huh.
They wanted me, but I said, no, I don't want to join no athletic clubs or anything. I said, I'm just going to stay away from it.
Okay.
Be a bum.
You didn't want to get involved with that? What about any other church groups? Were you a member of the choir or anything like that in church?
Well, I was just in the choir in the church, and it's all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes I go back a little bit and then sing with the gang and all, but I didn't want to go back no more for practices or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed away after I married and I couldn't know.
Okay. Were there a lot of practices involved with being in the choir
then? Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had different cantors that had violins and different things too.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah, they had violins and they used to give us the pitch.
Uh-huh.
And everything. Sometimes I had these little pitch pipes, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they used
mm-hmm.
the violin to give us the pitch and sing with us. And my sisters was in a choir, my brothers were in, I think, too.
Did they use the violin only for the pitch, or did they also play during the service?
Once in a while they played the
did
song
really?
The way it went, you know, but
mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
too much.
Mm-hmm.
They just mm-hmm. give us the pitch and then we sing along with them.
Okay. What do you remember about some of the early pastors of the church? One thing that I've heard is that Father Cosi was our very first pastor. Is that right, Cosi?
Cosi.
Do you remember that name?
No, I don't recall that name at all.
Okay.
Father Pop is all I can remember was our first one.
Okay.
And Cantor Ratson.
Ratson.
And then later
mm-hmm.
on we had Horvath Tricantor. Cantor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the priest we had, well, there were so many of them, I can't even recall.
Okay,
their
some
names.
Of the other ones were Father Krusko, right?
Yes.
And now, do you remember a Father Lipesky at all? He was there for just a very short time, I think.
Potratsky or something, I think. Father.
No, Lipesky is the name that I've heard.
That was maybe the cantor Potratsky. I can't remember now,
okay.
To tell the truth.
Father Sabo, do you remember
Father
him?
Father Sabo, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He had about 7 priests altogether, maybe more, I can't recall. Some
okay.
of them died.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the ones that died.
Okay.
I did know them pretty good, all of them, but I can't recall anymore. My mind's always slipping anymore in my old age. And
you're doing fine.
I can't remember Father the priest.
Let's see now then. How many children did you and your wife have, Mr. Bosa?
5.
There's 5 children?
5
mm-hmm.
children. And
mm-hmm.
We had 17 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have 2 great-grandchildren.
Wonderful. I understand there's just a new one, about a month old now?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
about a month
mm-hmm.
old.
That's good. What was it like for you when your children were small and, just as a young father of our parish, what are your memories from that time?
I was happy. I tried to help them, and me and my wife used to stay with them and make them pray, just get down on their knees, and we stayed with them on our knees too to pray and try to get them to learn the prayers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was happy with them all the time. They used to play football. Even Dorothy, who married Dr. Wickster, you know, she used to play football out here all the time, and the neighbors used to get a kick out of her because the boys and her used to play football quite a bit. Mary did good for the football. She married Pete McCullough.
Pardon me?
Married Pete McCullough.
Mary?
Peter McCullough.
Okay. And your other children?
And Dorothy married Dr. Hoekstra.
Uh-huh.
And Tommy married Helen Vistosh.
Okay.
And
Johnny
married
okay.
the Hungarian girl, Gamori.
Gamori?
See what her name was.
And that's Tom, John, Mary, and Dorothy, and then...
And,
was there another son or daughter?
Yes, there was a... I forget so easy.
Oh,
I know
okay.
I'm good. My own children and grandchildren.
That's okay. All right, so you basically...
Let's see, Johnny married... Violet Gamori.
Violet, okay.
And David married Rosemary Lubanovic.
Rosemary Lubanovic, okay.
She was Croatian. Okay. Rosemary Lubanovic, Croatian. Mm-hmm. Now Johnny has 6 children altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And David has 2. And Mary had 2, and 2 that died, 1 at birth and 1 shortly after birth,
mm-hmm.
or before birth, I can't remember now. And Tommy, Tommy had 3.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, 2. Johnny, 6. David, 2. Who's the other one now?
Dorothy?
Dorothy, yeah, 4.
Okay,
they
good.
Had 4.
My dad
I was
said
trying
that.
To think them.
My dad remembers a Red Bosack that played football for Wilson. Is
that,
that
was
a relation?
On Purnell here, Solvok.
He's okay.
Not in the family.
Not in your family.
No.
Okay.
Their name was Bozak. B-O-Z-A-K, and they called him Bosack.
Oh, I see.
His name was Bozak.
That's confusing.
They always, it's confusing all the people here. They always ask me if that's my son.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the mock weddings that the parish used to put on? They were like,
Yes, they had old mm-hmm. country dances.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what they named them. Different kind of...
Harvest Moon Dance, I've heard
yeah,
of one
yeah,
once.
Harvest uh-huh. Moon Dance uh-huh. and old country dancing. And the dances uh-huh. that they used to, with the whips and swords and everything, you
really?
Used to hit the floor.
Oh.
Used to keep time and everything, hit big swords, you know, on the
uh-huh.
floor.
Uh-huh.
That was Pete and Mary.
Pete and Mary?
Yeah, Peter, Mazzella, and Mary that was having that mock dance, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then uh-huh. Dorothy's daughter, she was doing a dance for the orchestra, and everybody stopped because she was just a little girl about maybe 3 years old. But she dancing her head off, just like a little dancer in a picture theater, you know. I mean, in a motion pictures. She was a little dancer. Oh, I'm telling you, even the orchestra kept playing because they said, oh, that's wonderful. She was in time with them and dancing and jumping and twisting and everything for the longest
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept playing for her.
Mm-hmm. Who was that you said? Dorothy's daughter?
Dorothy's daughter, yes.
You mean your granddaughter?
And my granddaughter.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's her name? Dorothy's... I forget her name now.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, Mr. Bosack, we've talked pretty much now up through maybe the 1930s. Now we're into, let's say the 40s and 50s. What activities were you involved with in the church in those years?
Well, I was an usher in those days, and then I used to work at the picnics and at the bazaars and one thing and another. I used to run all kind of wheels. I even made wheels sometimes for the church instead of buying them or renting
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked even with the carnivals that we used to have here, and they always wanted to take me along with them because they said I was too good of a guy to run the gambling stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they trusted me enough, and I done as much as I could for everything, and the more I done, the more I got kicked around. I just seemed to be the nasty nanny goat that was around here all the time, in the way of everybody. So I finally got so worked up and so disgusted that I gave up everything. And I didn't get mad at the people, but I just gave up, and I figured, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
I had my share. Let
mm-hmm.
somebody else take over
mm-hmm.
for a change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else I could say.
That's okay. What was it like to be an usher then? Do you remember what your duties were?
Well, we had to count the money as it came in, and we had to mark it all in the books. In those days, we had to swear in before we got to be ushers. We had to swearing at the Bible at the front of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pleasant and good. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, things kept getting too much jealousy and too much favoritisms and this and that. So I says, I had enough. Let somebody else run.
Okay. And let's see. You weren't in the service, were you, during the war?
No, I was too old at one war and too young at another war,
mm-hmm.
so I never
mm-hmm.
had the chance mm-hmm. to be called on, although I thought I was going, but because I happened to be on secret, not secret work exactly, but work that shouldn't be said or anything to anybody. I was working on war efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Such as bomb stocks, gun barrels, and explosives and gun barrels and one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
So they said I was too important to
mm-hmm.
Be taken off those jobs and put on elsewhere. So I just served the best I could in the war. I made cannon barrels, rifle barrels, and
and that was all a cheat and tube?
All
you did
cheat
that?
And tube, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they did
and
that
bomb
there.
Bomb stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was on a lot of that stuff.
What about the church during those days? Did they do anything to help the war effort or to help the families of the servicemen or that type of thing?
Not that I know of.
No? Okay.
No.
Okay. What about during the 1950s then? Was there anything significant that stands out in your mind during that period of time?
No.
Father Romack was still pastor then in
yes.
till around, what, 1955 or so that he died?
I can't recall when
uh-huh.
he died.
Uh-huh.
But I worked with him and he always wanted me to be with him to be working together.
Mm-hmm.
So I always liked him. He was very good to me and very nice to me, and I
mm-hmm.
tried to do as much as I could for him and be as honest as I could.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I understand that he died of a heart attack on a trip to Denora, PA.
I wouldn't know.
Okay. Okay.
I wouldn't know.
Do you remember a time that our church was struck by lightning? One time. Do you recall that? No one has mentioned it to me, but I came across a newspaper article. I wondered if you might remember that.
No, I don't recall that at all.
Okay. And there was another newspaper article that one time somebody stole about $200 from the collection. Do you remember that?
No, but I did hear about them stealing the chalice and stuff like that in our
really?
Church. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Broke in and stole the chalice and different things.
Oh.
And I don't remember if anybody...
About the other thing? Okay.
Taking money.
Mm-hmm.
Although they had arguments amongst themselves that no wonder you're driving a car and you must be taking some of the money and this and that. And
oh.
one time they even mentioned that and accused me.
Oh,
I said, I never do anything like that. I said, I'd sooner give than to take.
They accused the ones that handled the money of actually keeping
some
of it. I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else important that you'd like to talk about that we haven't talked about yet? Is there anything that stands out as major to you?
No, except that I try to be good to all the people there,
mm-hmm.
to the women, to the men, and to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to be fair and square with everybody, talk nice to them, and I've done my share of praying and singing and all, but I always want to do more, but I was always afraid I would be accused of things, so
I
say I've done as little as much as I could,
mm-hmm.
and be on a safe side for everybody.
Okay. Do you have any advice or some words of wisdom you would like to pass on to the next generations of the church?
Hardly. I hardly would want to say anything and probably be blamed for something that didn't happen and didn't go on. And I don't want to accuse anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to have people think that I done underhanded work, which I never did.
No, I don't
intended
think so.
To.
Yeah. Okay, but then what would you say, though, say to the children who are here today and who will be growing up during the next, say, 50 years of the parish's life? Is there anything that you would like them to carry with them throughout their life, or anything that you think is important for them not to forget about?
Well, I just say that they had better get together and do more for our church, because our church needs more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everybody should pitch in and help. Do as much as you can. When you're tired of doing that much, do some more and get more tired. That's all I can say.
Okay. Thank you very much.